Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's tip off with the National Basketball Association Finals. The visiting Golden State Warriors defeated the Cleveland Cavaliers 103-82 to even the best-of-seven championship series at two games each. After three close games, this was the most lopsided contest in the NBA Finals. League Most Valuable Player Stephen Curry scored 22 points for Golden State. He says the Warriors approach Game 4 with a must-win attitude.
Since Game 1, I think we've had spurts where, you know, obviously the last quarter in Game 3, and the last 3 minutes of Game 2, we got to our identity, but it was a little too late. Tonight, we came in with the mentality that, obviously, like we were saying, that we had to win this game. So it was about effort. And consistent effort every possession. It's obviously not perfect. We still can play a little bit better, I think. But the effort was at a level that it erased some of those mistakes, and we just battled from the start. So we gave ourselves a shot, and then shots go in. Everybody starts to feel good. You pick up some momentum.
Steph Curry and the Warriors appear to have picked up some momentum as the NBA Finals move west for Game 5 Sunday night in Oakland, California. Warriors coach Steve Kerr made a surprising move in Game 4. He replaced his big Australian center, Andrew Bogut, in the starting lineup with swingman Andre Iguodala, who has Nigerian blood on his father's side. And Andre came through for the Warriors with 22 points in Game 4. At the post-game news conference, Coach Kerr was brutally honest in talking about his decision.
When I was asked today, I think Tim Kawakami asked me if Bogut was starting. I lied. No, I did. I mean, I lied. So, I figure I have two press conferences on the day of the game, so I'm asked a lot of strategic questions. So, my options were tell the truth, and I was asked both at shoot around and before the game. So, if I tell the truth, it's the equivalent of me knocking on David Blatt's door and say, hey, this is what we're going to do. I could evade the question, which would start this Twitter phenomenon, who's going to start for the Warriors? Or I could lie, so I lied. Sorry, but I don't think they hand you the trophy for based on morality. They give it to you if you win, so sorry about that.
Head coach Steve Kerr of the Golden State Warriors, who will host the Cleveland Cavaliers Sunday night in Game 5 of the NBA Finals, which is now tied at two games each. Meanwhile, Cameroonian player Luke Richard Baamute of the NBA's Philadelphia 76ers club is participating in a zero-cases tackle Ebola campaign aimed at curbing the spread of the deadly disease. I called Luke in the southwestern U.S. city of Houston, Texas, and I asked him, why did you decide to join this fight against Ebola?
I decided to join it because it hit home. I'm from Africa, especially Cameroon, but I feel like I'm a representation of Africa where I'm at. I'm one of the ambassadors of the continent. And I joined this campaign to encourage people in the United States to fight against Ebola and to try to reach zero cases. You know, the world needs to keep fighting because the fight is still on. It's not over. And we want to get to zero cases, and that's why, as an ambassador, I try to push so people in America can help us get to zero cases.
As you mentioned, Luke, you're from Cameroon. The Ebola epidemic has not really touched Cameroon, but it has caused more than 11,000 deaths in Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea. In fact, just this week, some more cases were revealed in Sierra Leone and Guinea. Did the scope of this epidemic surprise you?
Yeah. I mean, in Cameroon, I remember growing up, we had something a little similar, but it wasn't as bad. We had some case of Ebola, but it wasn't as alarming as it is now. You know, to have this many people suffer and kill is very surprising. It's very hurtful. That's why we need to continue to fight and continue trying to help bring this epidemic down so that stuff like that don't happen again. And that's the reason why I'm trying to, you know, fight with along with everybody else on this campaign to bring it all down to zero cases.
Serge Ibaka from the Oklahoma City Thunder also participating in this Ebola campaign. Luke, what's your relationship with Serge?
I mean, me and Serge, obviously, we came in around the same time in the NBA. And somebody who also really is proud of being African and, you know, wants to help and is about being African and representing his continent in the right way. And we both feel like us being ambassadors and putting our faces and trying to get people in the U.S. to rally behind us to help us trying to get to zero cases is going to benefit our people back home.
Let's talk briefly NBA hoops. Rough season for the 76ers, only 18 wins. Do you expect things will improve next season?
I think we'll improve. You know, we had 18 wins this season. We started off really bad, losing 17 games in a row. But you look at the way the team is built, it's a lot of young players, young, talented players. And those guys all got better by the end of the season. And, you know, it's good to see those guys evolve and grow. And you get Joel back next year. We're going to probably get a top draft pick this year. And I think all that, along with Coach Brown's coaching, we should definitely improve next year and be a better team.
Luke, as we talk, very competitive NBA finals taking place between the Warriors and the Cavaliers. What's your take on the series so far?
I think it's a very interesting series. You know, Cleveland is surprising everybody, I think, the way they've been playing. Obviously, I think the Warriors are the better team, but Cleveland just been grinding all the way in through the injuries of Kevin Love and now with Kyrie, and they're doing it. You know, they got a lot of guys who are fighters and scrappers, but I think Golden State is still the better team. I think they still haven't played their best basketball. Steph Curry's been struggling. I think if they find a way to play and put together 48 minutes of good basketball, this should be the team to win this finals. But also, if Cleveland keeps playing like they're playing, now right now they have the advantage. You know, it should be interesting to see. But I think at the end of the day, Warriors have still a better chance of winning right now.
LeBron has been just sensational in the series. I know you've guarded him before, Luke. Can you guard a guy like that? I mean, what's your mindset when you're matched up against him?
I've had my fair share of battles with LeBron. He's obviously, you know, the best player in the league right now. Very tough to guard, obviously, but I think he's very guardable. Right now, he's doing a lot of isolation basketball, and I think somehow the Warriors have to find a way to kind of take him out of the game, whether it's through a double team or something else, and make somebody else make plays, because I feel like when he's on the floor, he's the one making plays, whether it's scoring the ball, passing, or doing defensively even, you know, he always making the right play. But I feel like if the Warriors find a way to take him out of the game and make somebody else beat them, they will give themselves a chance. But LeBron is definitely playing out of his mind, and it's great to see him do it in the finals for his hometown.
Luke, thank you very much for talking with us.
No problem, Sonny. It was a pleasure.
That's Luke Richard Bahamute of the Philadelphia 76ers Basketball Club. And Luke was talking with me by telephone from the southwestern U.S. city of Houston, Texas. Luke gave us his thoughts on Cleveland Cavaliers star LeBron James. LeBron scored 20 points Thursday night in Game 4 of the NBA Finals. The Cavs star averaged more than 40 points a game during the first three games. Game 4 was not one of LeBron's better shooting nights. LeBron missed 15 of the 22 shots he took from the field. In Norway, an Ivorian sprinter showed off her speed and was one of the African winners at a big international track and field meet. The VOA's Daybreak Africa sportsman Marco Uma has that story, as well as other sports news.
Ivory Coast's Muriela Hore clocked 11.03 seconds to carry the day in the women's 100 meters at the IWF Diamond League in Oslo, Norway on Thursday. Other Africans who won their events were Ethiopia's Genzebe Dibaba in women's 5,000 meters, along with Kenyan's Asbel Kiprop and Jaira's Kipchoge Birech in men's 1 mile and 3,000 meter steeplechase, respectively. South Africa's Anaso Jobodwana and Sunet Fulyun were runners-up in men's 200 meters and women's javelin, respectively, while Eritrean Awet Bibrab was second in men's 1500 meters. In rugby news, Zimbabwe host Kenya in an Africa Rugby Division 1A tie in Harare tomorrow Saturday. Earlier on, Namibia beat hosts Tunisia 22-14 in Nabuel in the other tie. Turning to football, Nigeria lost 1-0 to Germany at men's FIFA Under-20 World Cup in Christchurch, New Zealand on Thursday. Consequently, Mali and tournament debutants Senegal are the only Africans through to Sunday's quarterfinals. Mali and engage Germany in Christchurch as Senegal face Uzbekistan in Wellington. In Canada, African champions Nigeria Super Falcons play Australia in Winnipeg as Cameroon challenge defending champions Japan in Vancouver at the FIFA Women's World Cup today, Friday. Meanwhile, Guinea host Swaziland in Casablanca, Morocco at the start of the 2017 Orange Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers today, Friday. Tunisia play Djibouti as Morocco encounter Libya. Tomorrow, Saturday, Cape Verde Islands engage Sao Tome and Principe, Uganda face Botswana, Nigeria play Chad, Zambia tackle Guinea-Bissau, Senegal play Burundi, Malawi host Zimbabwe, Algeria play Seychelles, Mali engage South Sudan, Angola face Central African Republic, as Burkina Faso engage Comoro Islands and South Africa play Gambia. Staying with the Nations Cup, Gabon welcome African champions Ivory Coast to Libreville as Ghana host Mauritius in Accra on Sunday. Egypt play Tanzania, Niger face Namibia, Equatorial Guinea engage Benin, Mozambique play Rwanda, Sudan meet Sierra Leone, Cameroon tackle Mauritania, Republic of Congo welcome Kenya, Togo engage Liberia, Ethiopia meet Lesotho, and the Democratic Republic of Congo encounter Madagascar. I'm Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa, wishing you all a sporty weekend.
Thanks, Mark. And you have a sporty weekend, too. And after hearing Mark run down all those fixtures, it's definitely a big weekend in terms of the qualifying competition for the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations football tournament, which will be hosted by Gabon. Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports shout-out for my engineer this evening, Sule Terawale. Kick it, Sule!
Kick it!
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies, 6080 kilohertz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kilohertz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
Thanks, Joe. That's Joe DiCapua, the managing editor of our Africa News Tonight radio show. And you can hear another edition of Africa News Tonight immediately following the Sunny Side of Sports at 1800 UTC. As Mark Ouma said earlier, Nigeria's Super Falcons will face Australia's Matildas later Friday night in the second match for both teams at the Women's World Cup football tournament in Canada. Australia lost to the United States 3-1 in its opener, while Nigeria drew 3-all with Sweden. Francisca Ordega scored the equalizer for Nigeria in the 87th minute. Francisca is based here in Washington with the Washington Spirit Club in the National Women's Soccer League. The British head coach of the Spirit is Mark Parsons. VOA's Joshua Haskell reached him by phone and asked him, what attributes does Francisca bring to the Spirit and which could help Nigeria go on a deep run in Canada?
Yeah, I think she's a special player. Nigeria have a lot of threats, and Francisca is one of those key threats. She's come into us with the Washington Spirit, and in the first practice, we kind of all looked at each other and went, wow, we have someone special here. We knew she was going to come in and make a big impact. But her raw athletic ability, she has incredible speed, strength, power, and she's a good finisher. Her hold-up play as a forward is very good. She can bring the ball down and bring other players into play. And what we have been working on is keep improving her movement and her tactical knowledge as a forward, and she's really embraced that. So she's this great athlete, this great soccer player, and she has a superb mindset wanting to improve. She's only 21, and so here at the club, I mean, the first game she played against FC Kansas as a substitute, she came on and she kind of gave Becky Sabrin a run around, and the next game was Sky Blue, and we started her, and she ran around Christy Rampone for an assist. And when you see two of the very best in the world player do that, a 21-year-old, which, you know, player who could be a rookie or even still in college if she grew up in this country, you see a player have that impact, you know that she's big time. So still very young with a lot to learn, but she's definitely a huge threat for Nigeria. And I think she's going to play a lead role in Nigeria having a great run. I called it before the tournament. Nigeria are a team that are going to scare the life out of every opposition they face. They're unpredictable and they have loads of different weapons in their team. And I believe they can get out of this group and they can have a run.
Yeah, it should be exciting to watch. And then also, second player we're really interested in is Ali Krieger of the U.S. She played a full 90 against Australia the other day, and she's been a main team in the national team's backline for a long time. But you don't really see her getting a bunch of the flashy stats. Like, you see Alex Morgan, Abby Wambach score a lot of goals. Megan Rapinoe gets a lot of assists. Ali Krieger doesn't really get those. And so what is it that sort of convinced U.S. national team coach Jill Ellis that she belongs on the field every game from kickoff to final whistle?
Ali, you don't have a player like Ali in your team, then you don't win championships or World Cups. You need your players that, like Ali is. And for the national team, she plays as a right back. She has the mobility, the athletic ability to get forward. She's very technical and very intelligent, makes great decisions and delivers very well right and left foot. She's a superb 1v1 defender. She's a superb defender in working with people and communicating and organizing. She is your rock, and I think she's crucial for the U.S. national team. And I believe that she is so technical and intelligent and clever that she could play centre-back for the national team, she could play full-back for the national team. And the national team haven't really wanted to play with a holding midfielder, but if right now in that group of players, if I was desperate for a holding midfielder, and Ali Krieger can play holding midfielder, and that just shows her attributes, her technical and tactical attributes. The thing that makes her different is her mentality, her drive to be the best, her commitment every single day to getting better, whether it's a physical workout, whether it's taking rest, whether it's mental, whether it's eating, drinking, sleeping the right amount. She is top of her game on the field. She's at top of her game in her focus and concentration. But that drive and that mentality to be the best she can be, and you have to have that in your team, and she brings that. And for us at Washington Spirit, those positions I racked off, she played centre-back for us last season. I think she was the best centre-back in the league, and she never played there. We played her there because we saw her in training, and it just lifted the whole team. She made everyone better by playing in a central role. and we committed to it. She played there the rest of the season. I think it was one of the key reasons that we were successful last year.
Going more general now, this year the World Cup expanded its field from 16 to 24 for the first time. How do you think that's going to end up affecting the level of play in Canada? And do you think it's going to be a positive thing for women's soccer going forward?
It's 100% going to be positive. I think you have to dangle the carrot. You know, there's a few countries that might have been blown out, a few more that will be blown out. I can't remember the Brazil-Germany score in the men's game. There was a blowout there in the men's game. So it's those things happen. But here in the women's game, they say those blowout happens by having the carrot of going to a World Cup and seeing it and watching a country embrace it, and the support, the financial support and technical support that that country will get after this World Cup should be big, and the exposure to grow the women's game in whatever country, you know, that has made, because of the more teams, maybe the team that isn't as experienced, maybe they're now at the World Cup. I think it's only positive, because their momentum after this, it will be huge. And I'm sure it will encourage the country as a whole to invest more in women's soccer. And I think the more teams you can get there, and the level, the women's soccer, the level has grown in the last, just in 4 years. It has gone through the roof in the best teams getting better. And then the depth, the amount of teams this year, now in this World Cup, that can beat anyone on any day is more than I think it's ever been. I think there are 10 to 15 dangerous teams. Now, I'm not saying 10 to 15 can win the whole competition, but 10-15 that can win a game on any day. I mean, we've seen some already. Nigeria, no one had them getting out of the group. And right now, if there's one team I wouldn't want to play against, it'd be them, because they're just so unpredictable and so dangerous. So there's other teams. There's other teams like Spain that are definitely very talented. So I think it's a very good thing, and it's why it's making this World Cup very exciting.
Well, the big controversy at this World Cup, I guess, has been the use of artificial turf instead of live grass. I know several big stars spoke out openly against it. The Spirit play their home games on grass, but you guys play on a bunch of different turf fields around the league. So how does using turf as opposed to a natural surface affect the game? And do you think that, you know, these big stars that protested, were they justified in protesting?
The ball moves different on turf over grass. The game is different over turf and grass. Yes, obviously in the top leagues, men's, women's, turf is used at certain or specific stadiums. But there is no excuse for it being used at a World Cup. There's no way. It's heartbreaking that this major tournament is being played on turf. It's heartbreaking. That's the bottom line. And it's now about making sure it doesn't happen again. Everyone across the world making sure, because it's not showcasing what the game could be at its highest level. And if the level is only 1% less, or whether it's 50% less, it's not the same, and it should be on grass. And but I think it's more about now being proactive and making sure this doesn't happen again, because it is different. For us in our world, sure, we're going to play on turf. In other leagues, top leagues, it's turf. That's understandable. Climates, different resources, men's, women's game. But not at the World Cup. It can't happen, and I just hope that it doesn't happen again.
That's Mark Parsons, the head coach of the Washington Spirit Club in the National Women's Soccer League. And Coach Parsons spoke by telephone here in the Washington area with VOA's Joshua Haskell.
Hi, I'm Shegun Adeyemi, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is, and every Sunday I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports from the Voice of America. Let the games begin. We got the game on. This is for the world.
Game on, VOA sports fans. As I reported during Wednesday's Sunny Side of Sports, FIFA has postponed the bidding process for the 2026 World Cup amid the bribery allegations engulfing world football's governing body. The United States had been seen as a front runner for hosting the competition. Henry Ridgewell reports from London on the latest corruption claims sending shockwaves through the football world.
While FIFA may be paralyzed by the allegations of corruption, in the Russian city of Samara, construction continues on the 45,000-seat stadium scheduled to host some of the games of the 2018 World Cup. FIFA Secretary General Jerome Valka toured the venue Tuesday amid accusations of bribery in the bids to host the 2018 and 2022 World Cups. FIFA announced the bidding process for the 2026 event would be postponed.
Due to the situation, I think it's a nonsense to start any bidding process for the time being.
FIFA's rotation policy means the 2026 World Cup is due to be held in the Americas, with the United States seen as a front-runner. Postponing the bidding process is logical, says Martin Lipton of Britain's Sun newspaper.
If there's going to be a change of venue for 2022, then the needs of rotation mean that you have to change the list of potential bidders for 2026.
Lipton says the tight timescale means it is unlikely the 2018 World Cup bidding process will be rerun, despite allegations of corruption. Russia's sports minister Vitaly Mutko rejected accusations of bribery.
Мы действовали в рамках того регламента, который был. Могу вас заверить.
He said that Russia acted within regulations that existed at the time. If something did happen, he said, then it would have been revealed within 2 or 3 years. Qatar's hosting of the 2022 World Cup is less certain, says veteran football journalist Martin Lipton.
There's a huge demand from the European clubs and associations and leagues to move from a winter tournament back to the traditional summer tournament. The doubts about the probity of the voting process continue to be raised and strengthened. And I think it's moving towards a position where 2022 will eventually be moved.
Qatar's foreign minister Khalid bin Mohammed Al Attiyah denied the allegations of bribery and accused rival bidders of anti-Arab prejudice.
Some entities, some countries, they don't like to see an Arab state in the Middle East hosting a tournament as such for the Arab world.
Qatar is facing further criticism over the safety of workers on World Cup construction sites. The International Trade Union Confederation predicts that up to 4,000 migrants could die by tournament kickoff in 2022. Workers are also denied basic rights, says Mustafa Kadri of Amnesty International.
They're not free to choose their employer often, to change their employer, to leave the country when they want. To complain about their conditions can often result in them being detained by the police.
Qatar says it has hired labour inspectors and built new worker accommodations. But if the corruption allegations are proven, the huge construction projects could be a waste of money and human lives. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
Hey, g'day mates, remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right, give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the Sunny Side of Sports, right here on the Voice of America.
This is Larry Zamude, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 18.9, Brilla FM, Lagos and Abuja, Nigeria. Let's talk to you about Brilla FM. It's Nigeria's only sports station, of course, with partner, the VOA. VOA! And so you can listen to Sunny Side of Sports on 80.9 Brilla FM, Lagos and Abuja. Keep listening, Africa, and enjoy Sunny Side of Sports on Brilla.
Thanks, Dr. Larry. In addition to sports radio, 88.9 Brilla FM stations in Lagos and Abuja, Dr. Larry also has stations in Kaduna and Onitsha, Nigeria. We're delighted to be your partner, Dr. Larry, so keep it sporty.
The Voice of America, VOA.
And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. I want to give a big shout out and thank you to Voice of America engineer Sule Terawale. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young, And that's the sunny side of sports.